Welcome to VFN Radio. Good Wednesday. You're listening to the most exciting, educational, enlightening, informational, encouraging radio program in the world. Oh my goodness. We're all over the place. We're here to encourage you. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this Wednesday is the producer of VFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And also joining me, as he does, is the one, the only, John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
I want to welcome all of our new audience members in the VFN Radio Virtual Stadium. I want to welcome Jamie and Kevin and Gary and Betty and Elizabeth and Eduardo and Rick and Steven and Ellie and Bryson and Dylan and Jean and another Ellen and Gabrielle, Renee, Bill, David, Kenny, Leon, Tom. So many of you guys will have a chance. Marilyn. So many. We just want to welcome you to the VFN Radio, VFN TV audience. We're here for a lot of laughs, hopefully, a lot of learning, and God's news behind the news. A conversation that it seems not many people are having on the face of Earth today. You're listening to VFN Radio. We'll give a shout out to those listeners in New York, Brooklyn, the Bronx, and even in the bleed over in the northern parts of New Jersey, which is almost like New York, the bed district of New York. Hello, hello, hello. You are listening to VFN Radio. Give a shout out to Texas. What's up? Give a shout out to Pittsburgh. Where the three rivers meet. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this morning to encourage you is the producer of the VFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Here we are. Here we are. This Wednesday. Wednesday. Isn't that amazing? They call it hump day. They call it all kinds of things. But the reality is that, you know, it's like, when is it going to happen? It's now. It is Wednesday, right? This very, very moment. Give a birthday shout out to all those who are having a birthday today. It's a wonderful day of celebration that God decided this would be your day, that you would be born into his creation. And his desire is that you would live and be with him forever in eternity. So he made a way through his son, Jesus Christ. So if you have not yet found out about the birthday of Jesus Christ, which we celebrate in a few days, when you bring your birthdays together, he lives forever. And because he lives forever, because of his birth, you too can live forever. Well, here we are, 13 days away from Christmas. Mm-hmm. You know, Pat's got all of his shopping done, right? All your shopping's done. And
in faith, yes.
And it's all wrapped up already, you know, hidden somewhere. It's like, oh.
It's hard to spend all those millions, you know, but he'll get around to it.
Well, I think he sends his driver out. You know, yeah. He just kind of, well, he doesn't text, but he has his assistant tap down what he talks, and and it gets out there, and I got to talk to his assistant so that he'll type down what I really want.
Oh, okay.
He'll never know it because, you know, he just never texts his gold card what goes on it and all. How about you, John? You got all your Christmas shopping ready?
I am getting there. I am just about getting there.
Well, what's something just about?
I'm not there. I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet.
He's such a partier, isn't he? I mean, there's a party. You know,
yeah,
John's
going
to be. He just loves to party and do all those different things. And like, if they have a Christmas party coming, do you have? Is it this weekend?
It's this Saturday.
Man,
this Saturday.
Their parties are so fun. You know, I wish, you know, I didn't get an invitation. So no, I know I did get an invitation.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I didn't either.
But my jet's not going that way this particular weekend. Maybe I can borrow Pat's jet.
Pats.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But and those that are going to that party in New Jersey, you're going to have a great time. I always enjoy those times with John and Teresa. They know how to have a good time and just celebrate it and do crazy things like put huge gloves on your hands and ask you to unwrap something while pointing and laughing at you.
That is funny.
Which is crazy. I do remember, we have one of those parties. I remember Pat and Tracy, who I guess both of them are pretty competitive. They were going to wrap something together. You know, something like you take your hand and put your hand behind your back or something, and you got one hand.
Yeah.
And they look so intently. They look like two football players at a coin toss, you know what I'm saying, at the Super Bowl. They were reading each other's minds, looking. We're going to do this thing. You should have seen them putting diapers on the kids when they were a baby. I mean, they're intense. They're intense.
Were they
ready to
both
go.
Wearing Saint shirts at the same time while they were doing this?
Yeah, Saints diapers as well.
Oh, wow.
But the... Yeah, it's a really good time. If you're out there, you get a chance to invite a few friends over and just have fun and just pause for the cause. There's so many different little games you can do together and have a few things to eat and just enjoy each other's fellowship. Sing a few songs, like the 12 Days of Christmas or whatever that was. Two stinking boots.
Or with marshmallows in your mouth.
Remember that year? That was horrific. Whose idea was? Oh, never mind. I remember whose idea that was, and that was amazing, right?
Yeah,
that's like torment. We even played that game at one of the father son camping trips, and it was who's the one that
was disgusting
that led that game.
That was yeah,
thinking.
Gary.
Search the Ram.
Thinking.
Was it Gary?
No. It was someone. It was someone. I'm seeing him. You know, I know who his parents are. Collie. It was Collie.
Chip?
No, it was Zach. Chip's Zach. Zach. He was so patient with those boys, those young boys, and so kind. And he was young at that time. Now he's old. He's so young. I was just so amazed at watching him, how kind he was. But then, of course, he was assigned this game. Everybody was assigned different games.
Right.
And he was assigned the marshmallow game. It was funny.
The chubby bunny.
Yes, chubby bunny. We don't condone it. We do not say do that. It could cost you possibly your life. But to watch those people, you know, maybe have some video clips we can put up on the Torch or not. If you have not yet been to the Torch lately, VFN Torch, you need to go. There's so much on the Torch. If you're interested in what happened recently, obviously that's right available as soon as you go in there, and you can just continue to scroll and it'll go on for so many. There's almost 1,000 different, you know, articles available for you and radio highlights, and but in that you can go to the upper right hand corner and there's a search box there, and so you can type in what you're interested in. Those articles that we've talked about over the time of VFN Radio will just pop up, just those. Mm-hmm. And it's a way to kind of search through that. We got some new things coming up on the Torch that's going to make it even more easier to get to different things if you're looking for things. Topical issues, and we're trying to have a conversation about everything that we can in regards to our life, our day-to-day life, you know, and what we're living, so that we have some sort of, you know, biblical perspective of it, you know, not a religious perspective, but a biblical perspective. But today, I do also give a shout-out to Peter, Peter on the Gulf Coast in Florida, but also, a shout-out to Brianna as well down in South Florida, and... you know, Juan in Texas, and Najina. I love your encouraging words, you know, out of Houston there, and Sharon and Brad out of Colorado. It was like 3 degrees in the morning.
Oh, wow.
3 degrees.
Three.
Yeah. You know, I wouldn't have known how what temperature it was because I would have waited. I wouldn't have pulled the covers off until it was at least, you know, 32.
Yeah, right.
Isn't that amazing? 3 degrees. But it was like a dry ice. They always go, but it was dry heat. Yeah, so was the oven. That was the oven. I remember being in Sacramento, California, trying to walk from a store to my vehicle with a blacktop parking lot. It was like 105 degrees or something.
Oh, that's fun.
But it was dry heat. And I thought, I am going to bake on the parking lot before I even make it to the vehicle. It was so hot. And it's amazing. You know, how God holds everything in balance, all these different elements is in balance, you know. And one of the prophetic words given by John Paul Jackson is that, you know, something's going to touch the earth that kind of changes its tilt, that, and the seasons are determined by the rotation and the tilt of the earth, and that the North Pole is actually going to change some.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe, you know, Jersey's going to be the new Florida, and you know, Colorado's going to be the new New Jersey.
Come on, we'll take it.
Yeah, that'd be something. Mm-hmm. Right? Can you imagine that? It'd be, you know.
Love it.
Well, just think about it. You know, I like Jersey. I love the people in Jersey. They're so honest. And
yes, they are.
They're very honest. And, you know, I got to be honest with you that that's not sand and that's not a sandcastle. That's called building material down south. It was the only time I could walk down, you know, the beach. And when you finish, you got like dark rings around your ankles from walking in the sand, you know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And if you do slide your feet to make sure that there is no particles, you know, in there. But, you know, today is actually 12-12-12.
Yes, it is.
It's December the 12th, 2012. 12-12-12. Mm. I mean, think about that. I'm not a numerologist, and I'm sure there's people out there that are probably like, you know, digging some hole in the ground because it's 12-12-12. But that's amazing. Think about it. And there's never going to be, is there going to be a 12-12-12 again up until the time it's going to be 21-13, right? The 21-12.
Is there going to be a what?
And the only time it's going to be 12-12-12 again is going to be 21.
100 years.
Yeah, 100 years. Mm-hmm. We won't see that here, but we will see it in eternity.
That's right.
That's right.
We'll look down with whether from the place there's no more tears and no more sickness and no more having to watch the Saints play ball.
Thank
you. I always just always joke about that, but it's just, you know, it's good to joke about. The heaven is going to be such a wonderful place. I know we talked about it, but if you haven't yet gone to VFN Torch and typed in, you know, in your search area inside the Torch, 90 minutes in heaven, focus on heaven. I mean, if you focus on Washington, D.C., your life's going to be shortened and you'll be in heaven sooner if you're a believer. But, you know, begin to enjoy this life and just stop focusing on D.C. for a time. Those 535 people, right, we learned.
That's right.
In the citizenship test, which we're going to have another one today, working our way through. I mean, that was so easy last time. That should have been the first questions, you know.
But it gave me confidence.
He's feeling confident over there.
The next one's going to be changed. The next one's, they're more into.
You checked them already.
Yes. I'm the one giving the, you know. Do you think Alex Trebek does not read the questions beforehand?
Maybe.
That's the guy who's on Jeopardy. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if you know this or not, but Great Britain just decided, Prime Minister Brown was saying that they are going to approve next year, which is really a couple days away, gay marriage in Great Britain. But, you know, you have the state church, Church of England. So they banned the Church of England from having any gay marriage, but and other churches can opt out. But it seems like that's what's happening across the world now. Mm. The spirit across the world is just, you know, just go ahead and accept this next thing that's being pulled. And it's, and you know, as we know, when you're looking at, I was just thinking about this, you know, that when you watch television, which is, I recommend you don't.
Yeah, right.
And if you do, you know, be, you know, make sure you don't have any rheumatoid arthritis where you can't turn your neck. You want to turn it. But the fact is, you know, a lot of the church is complaining about this particular issue. Mm-hmm. And it's prevalent on church. It's prevalent on the television. Yeah, but, you know, for years, the church has been watching, you know, adultery. They've been watching fornication. Mm-hmm. They've been watching, you know, people, they're not married, by the way. It's their actors, mm-hmm. and they're your kids sending these different things. But all of a sudden, it's just amazing. It's like, at what point was it wrong? Was it wrong? Was this sin wrong that we were allowing to come into our hearts and eyes, or is this sin wrong? And if that was wrong, then why can we complain about this? When at what point it's like, you know, my goodness, I can't wait till we talk about the making of a mind. And its author but I mean, the church is going to have to make up our mind in regards to, and I've been praying about this, so the Lord, you know, reveal more to, we're not, we need to know so much more and have an understanding that we have to begin to understand we're supposed to separate ourselves from the world. And, you know, this mark, the mark of the beast is about an economic thing that you have to have this particular, obviously it's not a card, it's going to be some sort of chip or something, or some sort of, you know, it's now available in the bottom of your Cheerios box. And the question is, you know, when will you let them put it in you? Well, he predicts in his book, The Making of the Mind, that in 25 years that the computer is going to be the size of a blood cell. And it will be a billion times smarter than it is now.
Wow.
So obviously, we're like days away from being able to take all this technology and put it inside of you. And it will be smarter than you and smarter than this, more knowledge than all the brains at the very same time on the earth. And it's going to be inside every man. And the only way you're going to be able to keep up and survive, they say, in that you're not, no individual is going to be able to be that smart to be able to keep up and have that kind of intelligence, so that you will automatically be left behind if you don't allow this thing to be implanted inside of you. So this is the big thing, and it is right now too. And you know, we entered into the technology aspect of things so we can communicate with you, but we do realize this is a bridge. We don't know how long this bridge will last, and we're on a bridge that's bringing as many people as we can into an abiding relationship with God through His Son Jesus Christ. That's our goal. It's a total goal. And once you're hearing His voice, you are in touch with, you are in tune and in touch with the omnipotent one who knows everything, who's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. That He does not even exist in the context of time. There's no man that can be, all the minds in the world and the ability to manage data and information has nothing on Him. And so having a relationship with Him, then you can compete with somebody who has some sort of implanted, you know,
right,
billion times smarter brain. And sometimes it's not about knowledge. It's most of the time it's not about knowledge. It's about wisdom. And so the question is going to be for us in the church is, I mean, we talked about click through, and hopefully we'll make that reference to what we're talking to today on the VFN Torch or the app. But, you know, how many, most people do not read. I was watching a particular panel that was discussing the terms of usage, things that come up for programs, online programs. And it says you have to accept these terms before you can use our product. And they know, the people who write it, they know nobody actually reads it. And I'm one of the peculiar people that read it. And I know that Chris is beginning to read it. You know, Chris has joined us a little bit this morning. And that you better start reading it, because accepting things so easily, you're getting into a mindset of accepting the mark. I mean, you're just going to click through. You're not even going to read it. You're not even going to know. And they're going to say, listen, we want to offer you this great ability to buy products and to do all these different things. It's a new way of doing business in the world. And you pull up download the app, you pull up the program on your computer, whatever, and it just, the first thing that'll pop up will be terms of usage. And you have to accept that. And the people just like today, they get so excited about this new particular app or product, they just go click, 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 and they go accept, accept, accept. And you can see how easily it's going to be for, you know, people accepting this particular mark that allows you to buy or sell. And we got to pay attention. We're just like, we're like asleep. And granted, I mean, this there's more sleeping things in the world right now for believers that could just lullaby you to sleep and just, you know, whether it's some sort of distraction and entertainment, you know, entertainment, there's so much of that that when all the world's shifting and these huge things are taking place, it's not even phasing anybody. It's not even phasing them. And the biggest thing is the phase is that, you know, we've got to be willing to do without technology at some point. We need to learn how to live without technology so that if at some point we need to, that we do. And it's going to cost you. It'll cost you information that you could only know if you had that technology. We need to celebrate, you know, being who we are and how God's created us, and have technology to submit to us, but us not to submit to technology. But at some point, you know, it's going to, the biggest thing that the church is going to have to do, and it could be now already, but I don't know, we're here for a particular time that the Lord laid on my heart called a bridge to bring as many people over from captivity, mostly religious captivity, into personal ownership of their salvation and their relationship with God, dependent upon abiding with the all-knowing one, you know, God Himself. And to the point where, you know, simple things that we did in everyday life, such as grow food, mm-hmm. you know, as farm a few animals, just something that allows, you know, you to function in life that you're not dependent on these different things. And it's going to be, the deeper we get in our dependency on technology, it's going to be harder and harder to let go of it. And you need to be ready and have that mindset inside of you all the time that you're ready to let go of it. Mm-hmm. Am I living my life in such a way that the power was to go off, for example, today, and the internet was to go down, and but they just had this big outing in the Netherlands. Was it the Netherlands?
Netherlands, yeah.
Yeah, and it affected things in the world, mm. you know, and that... are you going to scream and holler and run down the street, or are you going to have a plan already how to function without it? Mm-hmm. And it's an awesome thing. It's an awesome thing not to know everything, but to trust your relationship with God, who does know everything, that he will let you know what you need to know at the time you need to know it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That you don't have to retain all data. If you think that God's not going to let you know, then you're thinking, I have to have all these mechanical mechanisms to be able to gather this knowledge just in case I need it at a certain time.
That's so true.
And stepping out of that is going to be the big thing. And so I encourage you, you know, read your terms of usage. Don't just click through on things, and understand they are working right this very moment to build artificial intelligence that will be smarter than, they have computers now that it's called Watson that can play Jeopardy and beat two of the smartest Jeopardy players that there ever was. Mm. And Jeopardy is like a play on language. Mm. You know, it's something that it's not normal way of talking and thinking. And so the computer can pick up on that and begin to figure it all out. They are beginning to understand, well, they've mapped the whole brain and they're seeing how the brain works. And it's not as complicated, they say, as it once we thought it once was. It's like just if you understand a tree in the forest, then you understand the forest, and so you can deconstruct the brain and how it works. And you know, by the time you're 20 years old, you pretty much used up all your frontal cortex and the ability to learn things. You have to unlearn things to be able to learn more. It's just crazy. It's like,
wow, yeah.
Oh my goodness, what happened to like growing a tomato and just watching the sun come up and. And we are so walking into a time, and you look at it, we saw it with Hurricane Sandy, didn't we? I mean, people were, you're sure seeing did. Them interviewed, you're thinking they're about to talk about, like, we have people that drowned, and the wind came in, and the floods came in, and neighborhoods burned down in Queens, and when they put the mic in their face, they're all stressed out, and they begin to say, this one lady, she said, her stress, she ended with what was causing her stress. She says, I have to come down all the way out of my apartment and go to a charging station in the middle of the street to be able to charge my phone because of Hurricane Sandy. And I'm like, all of that stress you just talked about and what it caused her to have to find a charging station for her phone.
Wow.
Who would ever thought that day would come, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like, oh my goodness. You know, I remember when I was in law enforcement and when I was in law enforcement, they wouldn't let me be on jury duty for some reason. They don't let police officers be on jury duty. And there was one time, and they still won't me to be on there, even though I'm not in law enforcement anymore, because they think that, I don't know what they think. You actually make a really good juror.
You would think.
And with the jury, where in the world was that? Oh my goodness. I got to change my cortex. It just totally just locked up. I don't know what happened to my cortex. But just understanding that, I'm going to let that go because I have no idea, you know, what that was. But that they wouldn't let you in law enforcement be on juries. Oh, this is what it was. And that, so when you go into the jury instruction area, because they called me in not realizing that I had former law enforcement experience, employment, and you sit in the jury room, and they said, everybody has to turn off their phones. And this was years ago. And I never really realized, I just never turned it off. Mm-hmm. I never turned it off. And I turned it off then. I thought, wow, that is amazing. Because it turned off a lot since then. Mm-hmm. But it just never crosses your mind, you know, technology. Because this is what they said. I know I'm kind of hinting around about it, but we're going to talk more about it in the future. But the they said, you know, there's going to be a day that you go and turn the go to turn your TV or your computer off or your whatever capacity, and it will tell you, no, please don't. I'm lonely. I'm lonely. And then, of course, you know, when this interview was talking about that, and then the guy who predicts these things, and he predicted like 174 of them, and like 80-something percent of them came to pass, was that that day has already come already. Because we saw people in Hurricane Sandy, you know, they got lonely. They got totally lonely when they no longer had their digital devices. And we have to understand that, you know, we are meant to be with God, to be able to have a relationship with Him. And all this noise and all this technology, and it is going somewhere. You know, it's going to the place of a particular economy that's going to require you to be able to enter into that economy. I mean, it's all happening in our face. The question is, you know, if you don't take the mark, if you don't take this digital mark, you know, where will you be? And the thing is like, are we going to just be asleep looking at it to be entertained in some other app or some other program to take some other responsibility from us, and we're just going to click through? I mean, it's so convenient. I mean, you think about technology, it's more and more convenience and being able to shop and things get delivered at your door. And, you know, probably especially with men, you know, men don't like, you know, they're not into that, you know, going shop thing, you know.
Amazon's a beautiful thing.
It's just amazing how that is. And the thing is that the more we depend on technology, we don't get smarter. We actually get dumbed down. I mean, because there's a day that you had to have all these phone numbers in your head.
Yeah.
And now you ask people, you know, what's your wife's cell phone number, or what's your aunt so-and-so's or whatever. It's like, you used to just kind of scrolling through some contact list and touching it, and it just calls them. And when that's not there anymore, it proves the fact that you're not smarter. It was the technology that got smarter, but we got dumber. And the guy's name I'm talking about, the book he wrote is called Making a Brain, and it's Ray Kurzweil, and it's like 174 maybe projections about the future in 1999, possibly, is where the book, and like 85% of them came to pass. Wow. And now he's saying in the next 25 years, because this is how people, we think linearly. We think if it took a year to do this and we're at 10% of completion, then that means we need 10 times that to complete it. But technology grows exponentially. So when they were at a particular place with one thing that's like, took them 7 years to get 1% of this particular thing done, people, just scientists and all, they said, well, that means it was going to take us 700 years to get to where we are going to be. Well, he predicted, since it's exponential, no, it's just seven sevens, which is exponential, you know, seven times. And he was right. In 7 years, they fully completed that task. So technology is growing exponentially, which means we got to be okay with not knowing something. And that means we got to trust God.
Right.
And you'd be really surprised. You know, I get a lot of practice in not knowing something. I mean, it's so cool in not knowing. And trusting God. Now, if you don't have God, you're nervous and you feel like you're gonna have to know everything. And if you do know God and you trust God, but then you use technology to be able to help you, you know, do what you do to another level, but you're not trusting in it. You're actually, you know, you're trusting God in the context of that. But at some point, you know, if you can't let your children go play unless they have some sort of cell phone on them, or they have some sort of ankle bracelet, you might as well just put an ankle bracelet on them and track them, which they basically do. They have tracking devices for, you know, cell phones and maps and stuff. And that's what you do to prisoners. And at what point are we going to remember that riding in the back of a pickup truck was actually a blessing as a kid, and now it's illegal? That you can't ride your bicycle unless you got a helmet on and practically a seatbelt that straps you to your bike with cushions on both sides, airbags blow out. I mean, you know, that today we actually had more potent drugs that the doctor would give you, and it hardly even had a top on it. Mm-hmm. And today there's tops on medications that even we can't get off.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
And it's just and it's more fearful, and the more knowledge we get, the more fearful man gets, the more knowledge he thinks he needs to get. And what's interesting is the knowledge, the very first thing that God said, God created on earth, was a garden. And in the garden, he had two trees, and it was a choice then between two trees, and it's a choice today between two trees. And he didn't tell man, he didn't tell Adam and Eve that, that he didn't put barriers up that says you can't eat from this particular tree. He just said, hey, you can have anything you want here, but just don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And where we are today is man's quest for more knowledge. Mm. And because of the simplicity of technology that you can now access, I mean, think about it. You can access anything at any moment, at any time, in whatever. Well, you need a video of it. Do you need some studies on it? Do you need people's opinion of it? Do you need people who had that done before or built before or something, and you can find out, you know, people's opinions about it, and they rated the whole situation? And it's like, you know, yeah, that is good, but there's something to be said about not knowing everything.
Uh-huh.
And there's something to be said about not trusting in your knowledge and trusting in God. And Proverbs says knowledge puffs up. But when you look back in the 1700s and 1800s, you know, the life expectancy was maybe, 47 years old or something of that nature. And people were really evil. They did the evil things. That justice sometimes was, you know, tying people's hands up and throwing them in the water. And if they floated, they were innocent. I mean, crazy things were going on, just huge, mean and hateful things. But now we have technology. The world, even though evil's still present, and evil's present in technology, it appears that it has actually lessened the impact and kind of gave more of a democracy type empowerment to the individual on the earth. So it's there's like pros and cons to the whole aspect of it. You know, what lady in India who is oppressed for years can begin to get hope in her life that by getting into technology and going to a free university online, that she can be empowered to live her life and not caught up in the culture that said that she was property in that type of situation. Or when you look at what's happening in Egypt right now, when you look at the young people that are in the streets and the freedom, that they want democracy there, well, guaranteed that kind of actions coming because of technology that's enabled them to quickly communicate and organize to be able to come out around that. And so it's like, well, that's good, but then it's bad. It's like it's the knowledge of good and evil. It's the knowledge of good and evil. And it's like he said, don't eat from it. And of course they did, and when they did, we did, and so we all did. But we have to be real careful about this knowledge. We have to be careful about how we handle it. And and it's going to get to the point based on his predictions, and we'll be talking more about it in the future. And I'm talking about, you know, Ray Kurzweil, that you're not going to be able to even progress in life without, in the world standards, without having this embedded technology inside of you that in 25 years, he predicts, will be a billion times smarter based on the dollar value and the size of a human blood cell. Mm. We'll be right back. Well, you know, you think about, you know, when you get saved, the first thing you want to do is what? You want to know more about Jesus, right?
That's right.
And so you start reading the Bible. You're excited about reading the Bible. And then you think you know, when you want to learn how to read and write and add, you want to go to school, right?
Sure.
You know, and let me tell you about my experience. So I got excited, man. I'm just in love with Jesus. I read the Bible all the way through. It may have been the first book I ever read all the way through. And I'm just pumped. I'm floating, man. You know, I'm the police, you know, and I'm just excited and just totally, you know. And so then I apply for Bible school. I'm just so committed, you know. I'm like, I filled out this application to be able to go to Bible school, you know, me and Jesus. Yeah. And so
And so I go through all the processes of approval, and I walk through the whole traditional cycle, you know, and I make it through references and all this kind of stuff. And I finally go to the pastor's office, you know, I get back there and I sit down. I just share my juvenile in the Lord heart with him about, you know, what I felt like to do. And he was just very encouraging, you know, and he signed my application to go somewhere else to get an education, you know. You'd think I could have got one there with 1,200 people. Anyway, so then I go send my application off. So I'm waiting patiently for my application to come from the Bible school that the whole world is supposed to be talking about. And I get a reply back from them. They tell me, listen, John, are you hearing me? Listen to this.
I'm hearing.
They said I wasn't saved long enough to go to school. I got rejected, man. They wouldn't even let me go to school, man.
Oh, my goodness.
What do you do with that? I'm like, oh, my goodness, you know? And so I'm dealing with this personal rejection that I can't learn about Jesus. I'm not saved enough to know him yet. There's nobody discipling me. I got a reference to go to this place. I guess the school is just not here today, by the way. It didn't last that long. It kind of closed up.
Wow.
Which is kind of good. I don't have it hanging on my wall. But, you know, that's what VFNU is about. You know, Vine Fellowship Network University is that, you know, I can feel your pain. If you're listening right now and you love Jesus, you know, you just want to know more about him. And I want to encourage you to find out more on VFNU.org today. That's not how Jesus is. Remember, the Pharisees were amazed that simple fishermen were being used. That they had a deep education and they knew you had to have the Bible memorized to be a Pharisee, you know, and, by the age of 40, Paul had it memorized, but they were using simple fishermen. God was using simple fishermen, and they just couldn't get it. But just because they couldn't get it didn't mean they didn't have it. That's right. Jesus, you know what I'm saying, amongst them, and God was moving. So I want to encourage you that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. If you're feeling called in to know more about Jesus, you know, possibly even called to go into the harvest field, you know, be a minister, to be a shepherd, a pastor, maybe even a church plant. You can find out more at vfnu.org.
You know, Greg, you ever had a conversation with a believer and you ask them, you know, hey, what is God saying today? What's the Lord saying to you today? And oftentimes you'll hear back, well, you know, my pastor preached last Sunday on XYZ. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you know, that's cool. I mean, I appreciate that. That's awesome. But what did God say to you today?
Right.
And you get this puzzled look back.
It can be really frustrating as a minister, can't it?
Like,
have you ever heard this Jesus you profess? You know.
Well, let me tell you, abiding is about what God is saying to you individually. Yeah. That God desires to speak to you, and He's going to speak to you through His Word. Mm-hmm. You know, I love John 10. It says, "My sheep know my voice."
Yes.
And I remember when I began to start to abide, mm-hmm. and it was just the most beautiful thing to hear that God wanted to speak to me through His Word. You know, if you're out there and you want to hear God's voice and you want to know God in an intimate way and hear what He's saying to you specifically about your situation, because God cares about you.
Yes,
he cares about everything that's happening in your life, what you're going through. And the Bible is not a history book, but it's a living book because it comes from the author. And God wants to speak to you directly about your situation and your life and how much He loves you. You know, if you go to iabide.org, you can request a simple plan just to learn how to abide, how to spend time with Him and hear His voice. I encourage you to do that. iabide.org.
You know, VFN Radio and VFN TV, you know, we are a Christian. We're Christians bringing to you a conversation. We're not a news core. We're just saying, you know, what's going on from what we understand and just kind of sharing our opinion about it. And what God's laying on our heart. We believe that God speaks through His Word. We believe God speaks through dreams and visions and words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And with that, we bring together sometimes what we call God's news behind the news. What we're doing is bringing to you based on what we personally have experienced or feel in our heart, because God's Word says every man knows in part and prophesies in part. And we're encouraging you, hoping to stir, you know, what God's saying to you inside of you, that you can hear that. We're not saying that we are a news organization. Things that we're talking about, that we are hearing, that is our opinion that we're sharing with you. And God has an opinion, you know, and
yes,
we're trying
to
tap into what He's saying. And hopefully, you know, being able to share that because of his word. And so I just want to clarify that, that that's what VFN TV and VFN Radio is. We're here to encourage you. It's to the church, which are believers. We are speaking out to those that have gone astray, and we're kind of encouraging you to come back. And those that are being led to the Lord, I mean, God's drawing you, and we're talking to you. We're not speaking at large to, you know, whosoever. You know, we're actually talking to those that God is has as his own, that he's drawing to himself, and those that have gone astray. And we're just sharing our opinion, you know, what God has laid on our heart. I think about that Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart, and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together, and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is, when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep, and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dead. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today. What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN Radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. My goodness, did you guys hear in Portland, Oregon, and I think it's called Clackamas Town Center, the mall, the shooting that happened yesterday around 3:30 p.m. Pacific time, where a man with a hockey mask goes and dressed in camouflage and begins to shoot. Witnesses say that almost like 60 shots were fired. They found it locked up, which there would have been a lot more fired. And I believe two or three people have been killed. Three people that were murdered by him, which is a miracle because it was filled with, that more wasn't. That's the miracle. Mm-hmm. That he had come through Macy's there, Macy's department store, and was planning on just, he was running towards the food court. He was running towards the food court. And his gun jammed. Mm. And he took his own life. I mean, it's just tragic. Right there where, you know, the parents had their kids and imagine just going that, hey, we're going to do our Christmas shopping today. We're going to go look for a few gifts. And next thing you know, somebody's in that mall, and a guy in his 20s, firing, you know, shots and wanting to kill people, wanting to kill as many people as he can, you know, in Oregon. In a shopping center yesterday, about 3:30 p.m., and it's just amazing. That's what Fox News reports, and it's just sad. It's really sad. Wow. that you know, we're just thank God that the gun jammed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if it comes down to what saves life, is that it's like the things that have gotten into the human race and the evilness that we just keep on allowing more darkness and. And this is something I wish I did speak to. I sent a message to the American Family Association, because they say that these children and these human adults that play these games all day, these digital games, does not affect the human psyche, where you're actually killing people all day long, and it's so virtually real that it looks real when you're doing it. They said, but it's not real, and you know. But it's interesting that our president and our Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, told the whole world that the reason why Benghazi happened was because of a visual movie that somebody saw. And it's like, okay, so if a movie poorly done and put up on YouTube can cause, you've admitted it now, can cause violence to the point we kill an ambassador is killed and two, an embassy is raided and two military fighting men are killed, then why do you go dumb, deaf, and disconnected when it comes time to playing Grand Theft Auto all week long, nonstop, and thinking that it's not going to affect a young 20-year-old man that ends up in a mask walking through a shopping center with a automatic rifle, it appears, you know, shooting people? That's what happens in the game. That's what happens in those games all day long. They walk through masses of whatever people in these games and hiding behind rocks and just begin to shoot them. And just like in real life, that when the criminal aspect of forensics and studying, you know, blood splatter and all these different things, they put that into the video game to make it look totally authentic and real. And we're shocked that our malls, now people are going through the malls and imitating what we've seen in these games.
And it does. I mean, the president and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton admitted it to the world, to the United Nations, that one video can create so much violence. Even the ambassador Rice said it as well. CIA, five times in one day, on one Sunday. And but all of a sudden we say, well, Grand Theft Auto, mm-hmm. you know, playing it 4 hours a day for, you know, 10 years of your life, it's going to cause you to disassociate, you know, the reality of death, and firing a gun is not as bad, and you'll end up walking through a mall,
right,
you know, shooting people. But it's right. Like, where's the president right now? You know, when the president was talking with Aurora situation in the movie theater, he didn't say, hey, you know, we got to do away with these movies and these videos, which they were watching a movie probably that was a lot of violence going to be in it or in it. They said, do away with guns. Mm. It's like, well, you wanted to put the man in jail, the American man who actually made the movie that you said caused Benghazi and the ambassador to get killed and these riots to stir up. Mm. But you want to ban guns when a situation happens just like Grand Theft Auto or happens in one of these Xbox games. It's like, how about banning Xbox?
Yeah, right. Right.
You know, how about, you know, every game that has to do with killing a human being, that you remove it. Mm-hmm. You know, that, you know, have hunting games where you hunt and do all the different things. And it's interesting that evil says, no, I'm not satisfied until I'm actually killing human beings.
Right.
You know, it's like, really?
Yeah.
But we wanted to ban guns. It's, well, you know, the president wanted to ban, you know, cut back on guns, and other people wanted to ban guns. Costas, you know, wanted mm-hmm. to ban guns.
Right.
And even that, you know, you think about Costas, the sports reporter, when the football player shot himself and his girlfriend, and he was reporting on the open news that he thinks that these guns need to be banned, mm-hmm. and just kind of stepped up. But all of a sudden, you know, next week, when a NFL football player kills his partner or kills one of his players because he's drunk driving,
right,
that he doesn't come out and all of a sudden say, hey, we need to ban cars. We need to ban alcohol. And but the same thing applies. But the difference is mm-hmm. that, you know, that if you look at the revenue base, reportedly, allegedly, that, you know, most of NBC, CBS, all these networks, money comes from car commercials and alcohol commercials. And
absolutely.
And I believe Coors beer is like the sponsor, the official beer of the NFL or something like that.
Mm.
You imagine like the NRA is the official sponsor of NFL. And it's like, did the beer kill him or did the player that was driving the car kill
mm-hmm.
mm.
his friend?
Right.
Do you ban the cars? Where's Costas in that? You don't hear him anywhere.
Right.
Because his paycheck comes from the alcohol industry and from the car companies who are advertising their cars. And the truth is that the alcohol didn't kill him and the car didn't kill him, but the man's choice to get in the car with a man who has drinking, mm-hmm. his choice killed him, and the driver's recklessness, you know, killed the situation. But it wasn't the beer that did it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the gun that did what happened with the player and his girlfriend, the mother of a child. It was the man's choice that did it.
Right.
And they're not talking about banning beer. They're not talking about taking Coors as, and it could be another beer, but I'm just off the top of my head, that it's the official sponsor of the NFL. But have you ever seen a beer commercial on with sports? I mean, come on. I mean, every single
day. Yeah.
Can you imagine if there was gun commercials?
Yeah, right.
You know, gun commercials in the context of all these NFL things, and all of a sudden a shooting takes place like that's happened, which is horrific. But then they say they want to ban. They wouldn't say they want, based on how these money-driven machines, corporations work, they would understand if we said we're going to ban guns that are providing, say, 80% mm. of our income, then we would end our program because we couldn't afford to be on the air anymore. Well, they said it with guns, but they didn't say it with alcohol, and they didn't say it with cars. It's pretty interesting that then the logic that you first used to try to twist the Second Amendment, all of a sudden it doesn't work now when it's where you're making your money.
Mm. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. Jesus said in John 15, he says, talking of himself, right, Pat?
Mm-hmm.
He says, I am the vine, talking of himself.
Right.
You, us, believers, are the branches.
Mm-hmm.
And his father, our father, is the gardener.
Right.
And the vine just kind of grows where it wants to go. You know, it grows towards the sun. Natural vines grow towards the S-U-N.
Mm-hmm.
And spiritual vine and branches grow to the S-O-N.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that is neat.
And so, you know, for God spoke to me about, as he called us, called me out to be able to begin to do what we're doing today, and it didn't just happen like this. And he said, very specifically, I'm going to teach you something for 3 years that I'm going to use for the next 30 years of my church.
Wow.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And he confirmed that through Dutch Sheets. It was pretty cool how God had done that, because you think, you know, when God's calling you, this might be you right now. You might be thinking, okay, I got the call. I'm ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, many are called, but few are chosen. You have to understand that there's a process of learning and growing that you need to understand. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. You know, when he said, get thee up and go to Abram, that meant 25 years, right?
Right.
Well, you need to get rightly related. You need to get connected to what God is doing. And, we tried, so once the 3 years was up, it was amazing. Just right in time, God just showed up in a powerful way. He just nailed it. He said, it's finished. It's time to do it. It was just really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And we started the 30-year journey.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, how could we explain this in a short period of time, you know, a condensed period of time to help people get perspective
right.
of what Vine Fellowship Network's about, and it just integrates with the word of God. It was just doing what God says, you know? And so while vine, which is Jesus is the vine, fellowship is what the church does, and network. We all stay together and stay rightly related, which is, you know, Psalms 133, you know, and John 17, 23. And so what came of that was called, we call it the Vine Seminar, the Vine Seminar, Vine Seminars, which is, there's several different seminars now that's evolved in. But knowing this, that the main seminar that started it was trying to explain how do you move from a flower pot to a vine? How do you move out of the fences and the confinement of men's tradition rightly, not wrongly, and follow God in the Great Commission? And God walked us through a way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he confirmed it every step of the way. We share that. We share that at the Vine Seminars. You can find out more at vineseminars.org. You can sign up for one in your city. Fill it out. Let them know that you are interested in it, and we'll make it available to you. It's vineseminars.org. As a matter of fact, I want to say, too, to those that are on the our Apple applications out there, make sure you go to iTunes and, you know, write a review. There's people, you know, they're going to be coming and they're looking and they're trying to find encouraging words and, you know, what they can, you know, I want something to listen to. I want something to view that's going to encourage me during these times. And of course, we're getting feedback from all of a lot of our listeners and viewers that, and new people will be coming from around the world. You know, we have all the way from Okinawa to Texas and throughout in Oregon
and Africa.
I mean, it's all around the world. In America. And so they'll read your review. So go to iTunes, you know, type in VFN TV and you'll find the application there. You can download it. But also, once you listen for a while, once you watch, then say, you know what, I'm going to write a review. And so other people, it's a way for you to help win people to the Lord, to encourage them to tune in to VFN Radio.
If you're a believer today and you're saying, you know, I hear you, I've accepted the Lord in my heart, but there's something in my heart. I want to do something for God. You know what? Maybe VFNU is for you. It's time to be prepared. It's time. Listen, we are believing for a third great awakening. We're believing for the glory of God. We need God more than ever in our nation. Right. We need God more than ever in the church. And let me tell you, if you're tired of sitting, you know, you want to get in the game. Mm-hmm. You know, say you're tired of sitting, you want to get in the game. You want to do something for God. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, I invite you, VFNU, Vine Fellowship Network University, .org, mm-hmm. and explore the opportunity of being on the front lines. Listen, it's not as hard as what religions made it out to be. We're all called to the ministry of reconciliation, right? Reconciling the world to God. Mm-hmm. But you know what? We need to be trained up and taught. Right. And it's not just a university. VFNU is not just a university where you just get filled with all types of, you know, theological reference. Listen, this is just anointed mm-hmm. God. You know what I'm saying? It's just anointed God preparing you with anointed teachings as well as practical wisdom and all focused on the original intent of the church and Jesus Christ.
That's right.
He's enough.
That's right.
Listen, God has a destiny and a purpose for your life. Discover it. Ask him. He'll reveal it to you and show you what he has in store for you.